Concern with God's glory is a rare and beautiful thing. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That was Steve Brown, and I'm Mike Kellogg. The program Key Life, a program without an agenda, except to see you grow in grace. Here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Jonah. I think we'll finish Jonah today, and then next week we'll begin with Micah, who also is a very good friend of mine. He says some really harsh things, but he says some really good things, too. He whacks you, and then he hugs you. In the first part of the book, he whacks you. In the last part of the book, he hugs you. And you're going to like Micah, and I'll introduce him to you next week. But we're looking at the fourth chapter of Jonah now as we continue with our Old Testament survey. We looked at the suicidal anger of Jonah as we read from chapter 4. The people of Nineveh have repented from their sins, have turned to God, and God has shown mercy on them. And Jonah's angry. Now, that doesn't seem right to me. It seems that a preacher ought to be pleased when his sermon brings results that are positive and life-changing. I've often said that nothing wrong with my church I couldn't fix with a few funerals. And it really irritated me when people I didn't like joined the church. I know, that's just a joke, but I'll tell you something. I can see myself in Jonah some places here. Jonah was a man who was angry because his sermon was effective. And then I want you to note, by the way, he was suicidal. Suicidal stuff is often weird anyway. We get a lot of questions from people about the subject of suicide. People say, is it possible for a Christian to commit suicide? Yes, it is. But it's often an expression of anger at somebody else. And it's always sad. And what it does to a family, what it does to a church, what it does to a people is just awful. My grandfather committed suicide, and I guess my generation felt it, and maybe even other generations. Enough. I don't want to go into that. But secondly, I want you to know that Jonah here, you would think that he was concerned with God's glory, but he's really not. He's concerned with his own glory. He's saying, I told him you're going to kill him, and you didn't do it. That's not going to bring very much glory to your name. Jonah didn't care a rip about God's glory. He cared about his own glory. I have students who say to me, and I've said it on occasion myself, who say, I had to preach at my church last Sunday, but I was really nervous. And I said, oh, and they say, yeah, I didn't want to bring shame to the name of Christ. And I say, son, it wasn't the name of Christ. He's doing fine. You don't want to bring shame to your own name. It's a rare thing, and I'm not just throwing rocks at them because all of us do that. You know, the thing we really care about isn't God's glory. It's our glory. It's not that his name be blasphemed. It is that our name be blasphemed. And so when you look at Jonah sitting under the tree, whining about the people who had come and talking to God that his name was dishonored because he didn't honor what Jonah said he would do. Jonah doesn't care about God. Jonah cares about himself. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to be wrong for the glory of God? I don't know if I am, but I'll tell you something. I want to be willing to be wrong for the glory of God. I spend a lot of my time trying to make the Christian faith intellectually respectable. You know what God told me the other day? He said that I was trying to make myself respectable. I have a friend who had gotten serious about the Bible, pastor of a church. This is a number of years ago, and he decided the thing he ought to do in his liberal church was have evangelistic meetings. And he invited the bishop to come to his evangelistic meetings. And it was an evangelical bishop of his particular denomination. And he put up signs. He went up and nailed them on telephone poles all over his community. He took out an ad in the newspaper. He preached on the importance of these evangelistic services. And he invited the bishop of his denomination to come. You know how many people came to that meeting? Not one single person. When he told me, I said, Jack, you mean you didn't have a big crowd? He said, no, you don't understand. Nobody came. There was nobody there. You heard about the bishop who was coming to preach in a little church and nobody showed, and he leaned over to the young pastor and he said, did you tell him I was coming? He said, no, but I think it got out. But in this case, nobody came because nobody cared. He was so ashamed. He was so devastated. I remember him coming into my office and talking about it. And he wasn't. You know, he had been faithful to God. God was going to be glorified in that, one way or the other. He was worried about his own glory. We're all like Jonah in a sense. It's a very hard thing to be concerned with the glory of God. And then there's one other item that we need to examine when we're talking about the perverseness of the prophet Jonah. Please note that he was more concerned with justice than he was with mercy. If I should announce that I have discovered that there is no hell in Scripture and that everybody is saved, that I had become a universalist, that I believe that ultimately God would save everybody without a single exception. If I were to, and I don't believe that, by the way. I really don't believe that. It's just not true. But if I should announce that and be serious about it, do you know something? We would get thousands of letters. And if I were to hear a Bible teacher do that on another broadcast, I'd write him a letter. I would say, that's not right. Wouldn't it be great if there were no hell? Wouldn't it be great if everybody was saved? Wouldn't it be great if nobody was ever eternally lost? Oh, man, that would be so good. It's just not true. It's just not true, but I wish that it were true. There was a time when I was glad it wasn't true, and therein shows growth in my own walk with Christ. You see, God, when you start with his justice, you say some important things, but if you speak of his justice and you don't speak of his mercy, then you haven't understood. And sometimes we who are Christians, when we proclaim the truth of the Bible, we do it with so much justice and so much wrath and so much anger that we're not proclaiming all of God's love. It's not his will that any should perish. You say, well, I'm a Calvinist. It is his will with some variation, but I'm going to talk next Wednesday a little bit about the doctrine of election, but I don't believe anybody is ever lost or unelect without the tears of God flowing, because it's not his will. In the book of Ezekiel, God pleads with those who aren't believers, why won't you turn? Why is that? Well, you can read it in the book of Jonah. It's an important passage in the book of Jonah. You are a gracious and merciful God. You are slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God is that? Well, you know, if Jonah were here, I would say, Jonah, you're sitting there and you're whining under that tree because God saved people that you didn't think he ought to save. And then you said it had to do with his glory. It didn't. It had to do with your glory. Jonah, if God had treated you in the stomach of that fish the way you want God to treat Nineveh, where would you be right now? Let me ask you, if God treated you the way you treat others, where would you be right now? That's the kind of question that'll make you wince. Well, I've got to bring this thing to an end. Somebody said to me the other day when I was speaking at a church in another state, Steve, how do you get away with the things that you say? I'd be kicked out of my church if I said half of what you say. Let me tell you something I told my friend. I said, look, I know a secret. And the secret is that the people to whom I speak are fallen creatures. And I'm a fallen creature, and I refuse to do two things. One, pretend to be a super spiritual Christian when God knows I'm not. And secondly, allow anybody else to pretend to be a super spiritual Christian when I know they're not. See, I take the doctrine of total depravity, even when it relates to a prophet of God like Jonah, very seriously. And because I do, I start with the basic presupposition. It's the microphone. Presupposition that nobody's good. but that Jesus is making us better, and he's doing it quite slowly. I read the other day that there were two ladies who came to the country club golf pro. Pro said to one of the ladies, "So you want to learn how to play golf?" She said, "Oh, no. Don't you remember me? I learned yesterday. My friend wants to learn today." Life is like golf. It's slow and it's hard. It makes us into something that we don't do naturally. We are not naturally spiritual or naturally good or naturally kind or naturally faithful, but we're getting there, and God's not through with us yet. Wasn't through with Jonah, not through with you, and he's not through with me. And the message of Jonah is that God is a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our Christmas Meditations booklet, I would certainly love to send it to you. It's a collection of things that I've written, some familiar, some not so familiar, on the meaning of Christmas. And we've included scripture in this. We've included questions for thought and discussion, a way to focus you and keep you from being a Scrooge at Christmas. If you'd like to have this, I would love to send it to you absolutely free without charge or obligation. By the way, we do have that on CD, and if you'll ask us how, we certainly will tell you how you can get that too. That's done with production and music. It's Christmas Meditations, and the booklet is absolutely free. Let us know, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And ask for the booklet free. And if you would like the CD, ask us and we'll tell you how you can have that. Listen, if you could help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. In fact, if you could help us financially and you requested it as my thank you, I'd send you the CD. Free, without charge or obligation, as a thank you from me. You help so many others when you help us financially, because so many people aren't able to help us. Be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include a contribution in your envelope, and I would be so very appreciative. Also, be sure and include the call letters of this station. And one other thing before we leave, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.